any of your formative crushes cartoon characters? Are any of your current crushes cartoon characters? If so, join the club. We literally have badges. They're from Redbubble. I'm comedy writer and 41-year-old child, Gabby Hutchison Crouch, and a lot of the fictional characters I have crushed on have basically been drawings. What's their appeal? I'm going to find out with the help of some funny guests who are here for a chat about the animated characters that make their hats flip up into the air and land back on their heads. Will we find something out about early crushes, pop culture and sexuality, or will we just chat about buff mutants? Whatever we do, I hope it'll set your mind at ease that that fantasy you have about getting tag-teamed by all three of the Musker Hounds is absolutely fine. Welcome to Curiously Drawn. With me this episode is a comedian, writer and actress who's a veteran of pretty much every British panel show you can name. She's the celebrity mastermind champion with the highest ever celebrity score on the show, and she once brought me a Christmas present of 6 Christmas crackers filled with bottles of gin. And because my son loves pulling crackers, every morning over the Christmas week he'd be all, "Mummy, do you want me to help you get your gin today?" like we were in a Victorian misery memoir. It's Britain's third favourite tiny comedian after Sandy and Susan, it's Lucy Porter. Hello, Lucy.
Oh, hello, my love. I'm just very glad to have introduced your child to drinking, to morning drinking.
He still has one of the, he really liked the bottles. It was like, it was fancy, it was like Sip Smith or something, you know, the one with the swans, I think it was. He still got one of the bottles of, the empty bottles of gin in his room. Like, this is mummy's gin.
Never let it be said I'm a middle-aged woman cliche, you know.
Right, well, we're here to talk about cartoon characters, and I'm going to steam straight ahead with your first choice. So choice one is a cheerful, northern-accented protector of tiny little car people. He's the least threatening dragon you could hope to meet, and he doesn't even realise when women, well, one particular Welsh woman, hates him. It's the happy-go-lucky defender of the wheelies, Chaltern the Dragon.
Yes.
Yay.
Probably my first ever, I mean, you know, when we say crush, obviously what we mean here, because I was very young. So I was probably like 5 or 6 when I fell in love with Chaltern, and it is absolutely one of the first characters on television that I had incredibly strong feelings about. And still to this day remember how much I loved him and wanted only good things for him, and how much I hated Fenella.
Fenella.
I can't look at my I mean, she, so I think we have to start by saying that I hated Fenella then. Obviously now I love her because she is a middle-aged woman who seeks to destroy other people's joy. So I have become Fenella. And so, yeah, I really, I absolutely love it. Cosgrove Hall, I mean, absolute genius animation house or production studio, which, you know, in as an adult, I can appreciate how brilliant the stop motion animation is. So for people who haven't seen it, it is a little happy dragon, Chaltern, who doesn't look like a dragon, who is named, by the way, after Chaltern cum Hardy, where Cosgrove Hall were based.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and where I lived for many years. And I'd like to think that actually I was set on my life's path by my love of Chaltern the dragon, because, you know, I mean, I ended up spending many of my happiest years living on Chequers Road in Chaltern cum Hardy.
Oh, that's lovely. That's so sweet. I didn't realise that. I mean, because Cosgrove Hall, I mean, I suppose that Cosgrove Hall also did that wonderful stop motion Wind in the Willows, didn't they? We often think, when we think Cosgrove Hall, we think more 2D animation. But I think possibly their stop motion animation was better quality than their 2D animation of, like, especially like when Danger Mouse is just like, they only had about 3 people animating by that point. So you can just, like, they've always got a scene where they go into a cave, so it's just 3 eyes bobbing about and stuff, so they don't have to animate the mouse. their stop motion animation is lovely. It's beautiful.
It's absolutely gorgeous. And apparently the, I mean, I have read this, I know not how true it is, but the reason that Chorlton the dragon, so the wheelies were on wheels because that made the stop motion so much easier.
Sure, yeah.
Than having to animate limbs. But Chorlton, so Chorlton is the only sort of limbed, and maybe Fenella actually as well, but yeah, there are a few limbed characters. But then what it does for kids, I think, is it gives it such a sort of fast, whizzy feel. Yeah. And it was incredibly, the whole thing was just so beautifully, slightly psychedelic. And yeah. Chorlton's got a beautiful rainbow hat. And the characters are all very appealing. But Chorlton, I think what I love about Cosgrove Hall is that it was the kind of sense of humour, I suppose, that I grew to love, which was sort of hapless idiots being lovely. So, you know, Danger Mouse and Count Duckula and, you know, the slight, a bit of self-deprecation. Maybe that is a bit of a northern thing as well, you know, the sort of being quite taciturn, really. Like, you know, Chorlton is, you know, he's not a very loquacious character. He says, little old lady.
Little old lady. Because I think sort of, certainly at the time, around the sort of the 70s, it wasn't just Chorlton, it was quite a few characters. Because Chorlton and the Wheelies, even though it is Cosgrove Hall, it has kind of got Postgate energy to it. That sort of very laid back. Because sort of besides Danger Mouse, who's very sort of proactive, and the whole sort of thing is he's like a spy, he's a superhero guy. So many of the heroes of these shows, sort of they're heroic by accident. They're just nice people who just sort of go around having a lovely time and enjoying life. And it's almost always the good things that they do are almost always by accident. And Chorlton doesn't even realise he's doing it. He just thinks he's everybody's friend, including Fenella's. And it's just like he's constantly thwarting her and he doesn't even realise.
Zuma was astounded. Where? Look at that. Chorlton's happiness has beaten the witch again. Look, the townies are laughing and singing. Hey, hey. Hello, my little mushroom. Oh, stop that. Stop that at once. Oh, come on, Mrs. Flocklock. Join in. Oh, Uncle, what do you want? Girl, I'm here for Fingal. I'll have you for this, you great spatty thing, you. Ah, what have you done to my kettle? It's been struck by a rainbow. Oh, do my lovely, miserable home. But everyone else thought it was lovely. Oh, isn't she a lovely old thing? Oh, that tickles.
Well, you see, I would argue that in Danger Mouse, the true hero of Danger Mouse is Penfold, who I also fancied.
Yay! He's small and he is tenacious. That's what I love about Penfold. He, because things are a struggle for him as opposed to Danger Mouse. Nothing seems to be a struggle for Danger Mouse, but it's like Penfold is small and his ties are askew and things are difficult for him. And that's what I like about him. He keeps going.
Unlike Chorlton, he doesn't really seem to have an end goal or, you know, he's just a very sweet-natured kind of bumbling.
He's just a good friend, isn't he?
He's a good friend, Gabby, and I think that's what I've always appreciated. But I do think that actually, and I mean, I'm going to say this with apologies to anyone I've ever been out with, but I think that is the kind of person I've always fancied, is someone who is just kind of kind and mate, it doesn't, you know, they don't necessarily need to be that bright. Also quite chunky. That's the thing.
Poor Justin. Lucy is married to the most hilariously huge man, considering that she is hilariously small. Such fun.
We could be animated. I mean, we would make quite a good animated series, I think.
You
a
really,
tiny lady.
Really would.
He could be Chorlton and I could be Fenella. This is, if they want to do a live action remake of Chorlton and the Wheelies, we are ready and very happy to do so. Well, I mean, he's very slender now. He's lost a lot of
his
bulk, but he's still, I mean, he's a big unit. He's just a, you know, and I think, I kind of like, I don't know, my sort of favourite animated characters, I think there is probably something about, they're normally a little bit chubby and a little bit sort of cute. And
yeah, he feels very safe, doesn't he? Like you were saying, you know, something, considering he's a dragon, it was like a really interesting take for a dragon. Like, because he's like the protector of that village, isn't he? But to have a protector who is a dragon, who, you know, you usually would associate a dragon, a protector of a town, with something very ferocious. And yeah, they made him sort of all spherical and nice and northern and just like a sort of bloke who'd be, he's got that sort of energy of like a guy in like a small northern town who'd like always be out at 6 in the morning getting his milk and paper. I am on it. Probably picking up a bit of litter on the way, you know. He just seems like that, doesn't he?
Stalwart of the darts team.
Yeah, yes.
You know.
Always play Santa for the what is it? It's not the Magic Circle. What am I thinking of? The Rotarian Club. Yeah, he'd be the Rotary Club Santa every year, wouldn't he?
Absolutely would. And he would have been, well, and in the pandemic, he would have been volunteering to go deliver things. And yeah, he's got a sort of good, I'm trying to think if there is a sort of a human equivalent. Well, in fact, I tell you what, because Penfold, who I would argue is sort of a similar vibe and quite a similar look, sort of round. I mean, round, basically. But he, of course, was voiced by Terry Scott in the original. And I did, like, weirdly kind of fancy Terry Scott a bit, which, you know, given that Terry and June was on when I was in my formative years, there was something about, again, like the sort of hapless, that kind of hapless character that I did quite like. So yeah, so maybe he's like a northern Terry Scott. That's how I would characterize him.
And he is officially, I looked it up, he's the official title for him is that he's a happiness dragon, which is just, that's so adorable.
Don't we all need one of those right now?
We all need a happiness dragon in our lives. Yeah,
and the dynamic of it was a little bit similar to Willow the Wisp.
Yeah, with like the weird creatures all around. It's also got a little bit of Magic Roundabout sort of vibe to it, with the sort of the white sort of landscape to it and the colourful characters sort of wandering around this white landscape, and it just this just sort of ambling gentleness of it.
100%, although there's no one I fancy on Magic Roundabout. It's a lean harvest, isn't it?
Where it is a lean harvest. Well, that's the French for you. They don't think about formative crushes. Anyway, well, speaking of international animations, let's move on to Choice 2. So Choice 2 is a medieval fox from the 70s, but probably not the one you're expecting. It's someone I know absolutely nothing about from a cartoon I have never heard of until today. And from what I've seen of it, it's the sort of thing that would probably have given little baby Gabby a touch of the fear. It's John the Fox from Storybook International. Right, I know nothing about this. Please tell me about this and what you liked about John the Fox.
Okay, so John is the storyteller.
Oh, I thought he was a fox. Sorry.
There is a fox. It's a kind of, this is a weird sort of crush on a human and fox at the same time.
Oh, okay.
So the fox is not the human. But they are sort of linked and both are sort of a very appealing unit. So Storybook International was actually a live action show, and it was a collection of sort of fairy tales from around the world, very earnest, very low budget, really fun. I think you can track them down on YouTube. I haven't looked for some time, but I'm sure there were some episodes on there a while ago. But the animation element was the opening and closing credits, which featured this character who was a storyteller, an international storyteller, and he sang a song. And for the English version, it was in a sort of West Country accent, which I have always found very beguiling. I love it. I mean, proper sort of, I would say it's probably Devonian if I had to place it. But I'd be happy with anywhere. I mean, I like all accents of the UK. Can I just put that out there? So he sings this song about I am a storyteller and my story must be told, which we used to use if someone was lying and we knew someone was lying at school. Then it was the equivalent. You'd either say Jimmy Hill.
Like Jimmy Hill at Chinny Recon.
Yeah. Or Chinny Recon.
Chinny Recon.
Chinny Recon. Or you would go, he's a storyteller and his story must be told.
That's so cool.
I'm the storyteller and my stories must be told. I have many stories, tales for both the young and old. I have many voices to describe many places. Many names have I, and many faces. In Russia I am Ivan, in Sweden I am Jan. In Germany I'm Johan. In England I am John. From my many travels I have gathered these tales to teach you good sense when all else fails. Sometimes there are tears, sometimes there is laughter, but always a happily ever after.
The animated character, it's a very simple animation and it's this guy who has a sort of pet fox, but what now seems like maybe a demon or a familiar you know, and the fox is kind of slinky and this, and the guy, so the guy singing is, he says in Sweden I am Johan, in England I am John. And he's Ivan in Russia. And what's great, and I think what I found particularly attractive, and I think what sort of made me feel early stirrings for him, was that he becomes all these different men, you see. So he turns from, you know, from one man into another. Mm. And it was like a little smorgasbord of international men.
Yeah. Oh, well, we love a smorgasbord of international men on Curiously Drawn. I like the idea that almost like he's this sort of spirit, a story.
Yeah. Yeah. It was sort of, and the because the song is sort of folksy and it just feels like there's sort of, yeah, this great pagan tradition behind it all, and then but he's also a fox, and he looks a little bit like Noel Fielding. And I have no feelings for Noel Fielding whatsoever. No. But no feelings Noel Fielding, that's what I call him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I like him. I think he's great.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this, if you want to picture this guy, he's like a sort of quite sinewy, which for me, not my usual type at all, as we've established.
It's my type, Lucy.
Is it? You will like him.
Oh,
I think,
gosh,
having seen some of your anime faves.
Yeah, you know what I'm into. Oh, God. Slightly androgynous, sort of slightly otherworldly, nice long hair.
Yes. Give yourself a go on the smorgasbord that is.
Stick it on the smorgasbord.
Stick him on the smorgasbord. Have a little buffet of
international, slightly androgynous men.
West Country accents in animation, obviously, the caramel bunny, Miriam Margulies.
Yes. She hasn't come up yet. I'm really amazed. Like, I've had like straight men and lesbian and bi women. So quite a few people who fancy women on this show, and the bunny has not come up. I'm really surprised. Maybe series two.
Too obvious. I think if you know, it would be like saying, you know, I used to fancy Pamela Anderson or something. Do you know what I mean? It would be like, well, of course you did, because you were, you know, that she was put there for you to fancy. It's like Jessica Rabbit, you know, Jessica Rabbit, the caramel bunny. They're bunnies for a reason. It's because they want, they're like, that sex, let's think about sex. So I sort of get why, it might be a sort of guilty pleasure for people. It's like it's too you want to be interesting. You don't want to
I suppose.
It's like me going, oh, I really fancied He-Man. I mean, obviously, you look at He-Man and you go, yeah, he had it all going on, didn't he? You know, bit too obvious for me.
Yeah, it's a bit too buff. Like, he looks like he takes steroids. That's not for me.
Well, and yet, I mean, I do like Dwayne The Rock Johnson, so, you know,
He's got the dad element thing going for him, though. He's got that whole sort of soft DILF thing going on now that he's done the Arnie thing where, like, Arnie wasn't hot as, like, well, this is my opinion on it. Mm. Arnie wasn't hot as, like, Conan the Barbarian, but once he started doing Kindergarten Cop, you're like, yeah, I get it. Mm. Once he's sort of gone down the sort of soft DILF route.
I would say this is one of the great tragedies of animation is that your crush never grows old, which I mean, I suppose in some ways is a wonderful thing that they are preserved in amber. But I would like to see He-Man after he had a few of the rough edges knocked off and after he's, you know, he can see Skeletor's point of view a bit more.
He's done his own research.
I mean, have they done that? Is there a, you know, cartoon?
There is a reboot. There's a reboot there is a reboot of He-Man. They do occasionally do things where they have a reboot, but the original still exists. The only one I can think of, actually, is Dennis the Menace, because the current Dennis the Menace in the Beano is the son of the 80s Dennis the Menace. So Dennis's dad now was the 80s Dennis the Menace. Wow. And there's this whole sort of, that says so much. That is one of the most profound things I think I've heard of in like British comics. Yeah. It says something really profound and something really simple. It's the sort of the fear of growing older, the fear of becoming middle-aged, the fear of becoming your own parent, and the fear of basically raising another little you. And I identify so much with the new Dennis's dad, who was in my day Dennis the Menace.
That's
and
crazy.
Just his fear and his sadness. Oh. It just really says something to me.
Oh, I love that. Well, I will dig that out. And I mean, do they address how many Nashes there have been since the
80s? I don't think they do it. There's been a lot of Nash.
There's a Nasher graveyard somewhere.
Nasher. Because Nasha was born of Dennis's hair, I think. Like, he took his hair off one day and it became a dog. Like Athena bursting from Zeus's head when he formed.
Yeah, oh, God, and now, yeah, Dennis birthing a new dog from his grey, thinning hair that would be some sort of stringy.
Really sad dog.
That is dark, isn't it?
Anyway, speaking of cartoon characters who never age, no matter how long they've been going on for, Choice 3 is a much more modern choice. She is a woman who has been marginalised both by her peers and by the very studios who brought her to us. But my goodness, if her latest introduction to our screens this year didn't turn everybody's bisexuality up to 11, it's the massive British war hero who punches Nazis, motorbikes with her superhero bestie, and yearns after her tiny, weeny 1940s disabled boyfriend. It's Captain Peggy Carter from the MCU's What If series.
Yes, we are bang up today, aren't we? I feel like I've sort of ignored a whole sort of era of my life. But you know, you always think about the things you saw most recently. And I just think our whole family are in love with Big Peggy.
We
love Big Peggy.
Big Peg. You know, size of that lass.
I love a big unit, as we've established.
She's a massive unit.
Really, you couldn't get bigger. You could not get bigger. So I had no interest or knowledge of the Marvel Universe until lockdown happened. Mm-hmm. And then we started watching every Marvel movie in order.
Oh, yay.
And I loved it and became completely absorbed. And then, you know, some of the spin-off stuff I've enjoyed, some I haven't. But the What Ifs, I think, have been spectacularly successful, some of them. Yeah. And this Peggy Carter one, I I love the Peggy Carter character in the movies. Now, you see, and you can explain to me, being a sort of Marvel font of knowledge, what they have done with the character from the comic books to the screen. So all I know is that I loved her in the movies. Obviously, she's played by Hayley Atwell, who I think is brilliant.
So and pretty.
She's so great. I mean,
oh, she's so pretty.
Do you know, we
she's just great actress as well, but
she's so pretty. She's, well, also just that, it's not just prettiness, is it? It's vivacity.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, wisdom. And she's, we did a
she's
thing
funny.
Together.
She's funny. She's hilarious.
She is hilarious. We did a thing together years ago where we were photographed for Vogue magazine. I know. Look at me just showing off. But we did, it was like these sort of rising stars of some year back in the 2000s. And it was her, Hayley Atwell, and Paloma Faith, and Kate Nash, and loads of women who've gone on to be, I know. And I was the oldest of the lot of them, and I was like, I can't believe, you know, they're all rising stars. I already felt like my knees had started to give way. It was the only time I was going to get in Vogue at my age. And but she was so delightful, and I'm so pleased that she's done so well. And I don't even know if she voices. Does she voice the?
She does voice the. Yeah, oh, yeah. She's good. One of the. They got quite a few of the like original cast to do the voices, and yeah, she was one of them. I think she does a really bang up job.
Well, I like see the animation style of those What Ifs. It took me a little while. Because it is quite 80s, I think. It's quite sort of retro, those kind of very hard black lines around everything, and it's all very shadowy. And
yes.
But yes, but I have come to enjoy it. And the sort of speculation about the Watcher and, you know, what's going on there. It was, they were nice little standalones, but they also did feel like they were giving us something that we needed for the future of the MCU. Yeah. And, you know, so I enjoyed it enormously. And yeah, and we all were just, as a household, went blooming heck when Peggy blew up in the.
I have to say, I do agree with you there. When I even saw her in the trailer, I was like, oh, hello. I really liked that. So I know that her like storyline was like pretty much beat for beat the same as the first Captain America movie. But I really liked the way they flipped it. I really liked the way that obviously the people who had been underestimating Steve because he was like skinny and sort of coded as sort of disabled in the first film were underestimating Peggy because she was a woman. And I really liked that Steve also got to be Steve is always a hero, whether he gets the serum or not. And in the What If movies, he got a very early Iron Man suit and was able to whiz around in the sky. And they formed this like lovely sort of boyfriend girlfriend team where she was the main hero and he was like the little boyfriend sidekick, and they'd like kick Nazis' asses. It's like, yes, really love to see a woman and a disabled man just kicking the shit out of Nazis.
Where have you been all my life?
The Allies must be desperate. Sending in a fragile Fraulein to fight for them.
Fragile? What? Scheiße.
Exactly.
I know, it was adorable, and it gave them a happy ending, or, you know, a sort of a little bit of happiness that we never got to see them have before.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I have always thought there is, you know, much more room for big female superheroes, and we're finally kind of getting there, you know, Captain Marvel and stuff like that. But I'm presuming that animation wise we're going to have a lot more in the coming years, and I look forward to that.
I really hope so. One thing that I really loved about it was that so Peggy comes back, so she has the first adventure, and then in the last adventure there's like a big team up with like loads of characters from like the different adventures throughout the series, and Peggy was like the main one of those. So she was like the bookend main character of the series. And in the second adventure that she had, she was in the present day and not in the 40s because she'd basically gone through the same thing as Steve had gone through. And she's best friends with Natasha, which I thought was adorable.
So, any plans for Saturday night?
No, don't. Stop right there.
You know, Bernard in accounting was asking about you.
Nothing good has ever followed the phrase Bernard in accounting.
What if his name was Steve? Ouch! That's when we were becoming pals, widow.
Because I know we do get to see Natasha having a close friendship with another woman in the Black Widow movie. Mm. But I really loved seeing her being friends with Peggy, because Peggy doesn't really get to interact that much with female characters in like the official universe. Yeah. And besides Florence Pugh, neither does Natasha. And I would happily watch a series of massive Peggy and Tash just going on motorbike adventures.
Yeah.
And, like, saving the world and, like, quipping at each other and teasing each other about boys. And, I would love to see that. That would be, like, my fave.
And then with all the you know, the female Marvel characters, I could watch any of those. And it is, I think, for my, you know, without wishing to sound all kind of worthy about it, but it is really nice for my kids to see those sort of women represented. Because, I mean, all I had was She-Ra, and that was, you know, years of years of nothing but She-Ra. And,
It was mostly to sell toys.
Yes. Princess of Power. But,
The reboot of She-Ra is really good. It's incredibly It's incredibly gay. It's lovely. It's got like and it just ends with like everybody coupling up. It's really funny. Like the creator was like, no, everyone gets a romantic partner. It's fine. It's these people you just met, right? You're kissing, right? It was great fun. I really recommend. I think I've already recommended Reboot She-Ra on this podcast, but yeah, it's incredibly gay, and I say that to mean good. had you watched any of the Agent Carter series? Because I know you said you watched a few.
I haven't watched Agent Carter yet, so that's another one that we need to. I mean, there's so much Marvel to watch now.
There is a lot of Marvel. Yeah,
well, we've just started Hawkeye.
Yes, I like that. I wasn't expecting to.
Yeah, same. I liked Loki. Didn't, you know, the doodah Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I think.
It was a bit flat, wasn't it?
So Agent Carter will be on my list along with She-Ra, the reboot. Yay. Is she still called Princess of Power, or is she just She-Ra?
They're all Princesses of Power. Like, those are like basically anybody who's like high status and has lots of magical powers is a Princess of Power. So she's not the only one, but she's one of them.
Okay.
It's nice. Agent Carter, the series is, as I say, it's a really good one. It's very Peggy-centric. You also get to find out the original Jarvis. Jarvis, the computer voice, was based on an old butler of Tony's dad's, and you get to meet the original Mr. Jarvis, who is adorable. He's really sweet. And they have like a really nice friendship. Again, she doesn't really get to hang out with women very much, which is a shame, and another reason that I'd really love to see a show where just Peggy and Natasha and Florence Pugh, if she wants to, as well. I can never remember the name of the Florence Pugh character.
I know, but you know, we all know it's Florence Pugh, yes.
Florence Pugh, yeah.
Well, you should go around on motorbikes. You should write it.
I would pitch it. Part of what I like about Iron Man 3 and Hawkeye is that they're both Christmas stories.
Yeah.
What I like about Hawkeye is that they've made him deaf, as he is in the comics that this series is based on, which I like it when they give people disabilities. It's like it's good representation, but it also, you know, he's deaf purely because he's been fucked up so many times in so many battles. He's not a superhero. He's just some guy. It's just, no, there were loads of explosions right next to my head. Of course I'm deaf.
Yeah.
And it just sort of shows how you've got a man in his 40s who's like still fighting, and obviously he's fucked up. And yeah. I like that it shows that, yeah, that fighting like aliens and supervillains when you're in your 40s is going to knacker you. And I like that he's just like this grumpy man who just wants to get back to his kids for Christmas. Yeah. I love the stakes of that. It's
know,
just
it's
really
like
sweet.
Planes, Trains and Automobiles or that sort of...
Home Alone.
Home Alone, exactly. And the sort of, but the slight weariness. I love a slightly weary character. It's a sort of,
what now?
Humphrey Bogart energy. I never really took to him at all. But
no,
yeah,
I didn't.
I'm definitely warm.
I like him now.
Very good, very good. But yeah. I love it.
Yay! So, Lucy, I'll end this by asking you one last question, which is, if I were to get out a magic wand which could make any one of your three choices a real person and bring them into the real world, whom would you choose to make real and would you pursue that person in real life?
Absolutely no doubt whatsoever it would be Chalton of Chalton and the Wheelies.
Yay,
and
because we need a happiness dragon in this world.
It would be the very thing, wouldn't it? There's so many Fenellas and not enough Chalton these days.
Oh my God, absolutely.
And I feel like a little wheelie who just needs a bit of love and a bit of happiness in my life. So yeah, definitely. And I think Justin wouldn't mind me moving a massive dragon into our house.
It'll be fine. It could be your happiness dragon. Oh, I am absolutely with you 100% on that. We really need a happiness dragon in this world.
But I mean, also, I'd be happy with any of the others if push came to shove. And also, the whole of Scooby-Doo.
We need those kids.
I'd like them to be, and Wallace and Gromit. Just for the sheer. In fact, you see, you'd think out of Wallace and Gromit, I'd fancy Wallace because he's the sort of, but actually it's Gromit.
The human. Yeah, he's got that weariness you were talking about.
Exactly, that's what I like. I think, maybe sort of cheery but weary. That's my motto.
That is an excellent motto as we go through our 40s. Lucy, thank you ever so much.
Such a pleasure.
Huge thanks to Lucy Porter there, who I completely forgot to ask if she had any projects coming up she'd like to shout about, but frankly, she's on telly all the time, just switch on TV and watch a panel show and you'll probably see her. She's also got a tour going, Be Prepared, which I helped do some writing on in the before times, but when we had an Edinburgh festival. So go and see that if it's coming near to you. I'm Gabby Hutchins and Crouch. For more credits and details, see @curiously_drawn on Twitter.